Right? And so, introduction wise, well, maybe before I get into it, I guess I should say congratulations to our Special Olympians. Stand up and show us, Val and Erica, our Special Olympians. They've got medals, they've got ribbons. I don't know what they did, but it was amazing. So snowshoeing? Okay, all right. No bocce ball in the winter?
No.
No, okay, all right. We're proud of you. And Val and Erica attend our Life Chapel that we do here, just another thing that we do as an outreach. And so we had Life Chapel here Friday. They missed it because they were at Special Olympics. But we have Life Chapel, which brings in our Special Olympians and that community. And we have a service with them, and we buy them pizza once a month, and we have a good time, even though Erica doesn't like Little Caesars. Oh, okay, all right. I've been getting cheese pizza, too. All right, so our series has been Walking with Jesus, Important Places in Jesus' Life. So I'm not going to take the time to review all of them. The place I want to get to in Jesus' life is what I'm calling the Mount of Solitude. Maybe I'm borrowing that from Superman. He had his Fortress of Solitude where he would listen to recordings of his father and he'd go there by himself. But we find a pattern in Jesus' life that he got away to spend time with his father. And if Jesus thought that was important, we should think it's important. Okay, I know this message is that simple. It really is that simple. As we look at the pattern of important places in Jesus' life, if it was important in Jesus' life, if Jesus needed to spend time with the Father, guess what? You and I need to spend time with the Father. And so introduction-wise, I had one introduction, and I kind of changed it last night. I thought of going with a Valentine's-themed introduction and just talking about date night. So date night, maybe you couples who've been married longer, like my wife and I, or I don't even know, we're at year 22 or something like that. You stop counting eventually. date night is you're intentionally getting away from all of the everyday life things to spend time together, right? That's what date night is. It takes investment. It takes intentionality. It takes planning. And yet has one goal. We're going to spend some time together. Are we doing that with Jesus and with our Heavenly Father? Are we being intentional about spending time with Him? So let me rattle off some verses to you. We'll just read them off of the screen. And that shows you the pattern in Jesus' life that He prioritized being alone with the Father. So last week, this comes right out of the story of the walking on the water. Remember that? And in fact, the reason Jesus had to walk on the water is because He sent the disciples away so He could pray. And so after He had dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. So there's some things there. Up on the mountainside, He dismissed them. He was by Himself, alone. After leaving them, He went up on a mountainside to pray. Mark 6:46, Luke 6:12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. He spent all night praying that particular time. So we look at some of the timing. And then in Mark 1:35, once again, different timing, but very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. And then finally, just to summarize them all, in case you didn't catch it yet, Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Like, that verse says it all by itself. This is what Jesus did. We're walking with Jesus. If the place of prayer was important to Jesus, then the place of prayer needs to be important in our lives. And when I say prayer, I'm not talking about whining to God and complaining. I'm pretty sure, I know we don't have a lot of content of Jesus praying to His Father, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't, oh, Father, this is too hard. These people are mean and cruel. I don't like it. You know, because sometimes that's what our prayer sounds like, right? It is. And I get you can be honest with God, and I understand there's a place with just kind of pouring and being honest with Him, and He ends up ministering to you in that place. But by prayer, I mean a place of connection, of communion, of being together, that date-night mentality that says, I want to be with my God. I want to be with my Jesus. Now, I kind of put them together. Obviously, Jesus spent time with the Father, but the Father and Jesus, what did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's no one way to the Father except through me. So we know that we have access to Jesus and the Father because of the cross and because of who he is. So I'm going to take you through 3 points. And like I said, I really just kind of want to get to the end and really kind of set an atmosphere. I know we're in a room full of people. How many know, like, what's it mean to be alone with somebody? It's almost a contradictory statement, right? Because alone kind of means you're by yourself. But alone with somebody means that that becomes the primary connection and relationship. And so I know we're going to do it in a room full of people. But how many know you can feel alone in a room full of people? You can be lonely. Well, the same thing in a room full of people. Anywhere in our lives, we can establish a connection with God. So 3 points that are not earth-shattering, I'm just going to do when, where, and why. Okay? When, where, and why. Why is this, when is this place of prayer? Where is this place of prayer? And why this place of prayer? Okay? In connecting with our God. So let's talk about when, or yeah, is that what's first? When. When. One, so verse Luke 5:16. Use the word often. So I want to use that for my first word for when. Often. Or maybe another word is always. Ephesians 6:18 tells us praying always. Anybody ever felt challenged by that? It's like, that seems impossible. How am I going to pray all the time? I think I was talking to Bill, and we were talking about prayer and the prayer ministry. And I said, I sure hope that I never come across as one of those pastors, because I've sat there and felt guilty, because I've heard these pastors who talk about their amazing prayer lives. They get up and they spend 2 hours with the Lord. You've actually never heard me say that, right? because I'm working on my prayer life. You know what? I have to be intentional about it, and I know that I need to pray more, and I've already made some adjustments even in my own life as we've gone through this message about, I get it, these places in his life got us spending more time in his word and spending more time in prayer, but that's what we need. It's what we need. I mean, I know they're the same things that preachers have been saying forever, because it's the same thing that's true. You want to have a vital relationship with the Lord. You need to be in his word, and you need to be in his presence and with him. And so often, always, you know that I love to preach and talk about just awareness of his presence. You know, remember that quote from Papa Boss that says, the presence of God never changes, only our awareness of his presence. I have preached and teach that the way that I try to do the praying always is to develop a with me mentality, that even directing my self-talk towards God. I have strange conversations even like, okay, what are we going to do next? Instead of just talking to myself and driving myself crazy, I bring God and his presence and who he is into my life, and I try to live in awareness of this. But here's what would be my argument. In order to do that, I think you need to do the intentional date night, because from there you establish that connection and then you can continue in that connection. I mean, if Jesus needed that, I'm guessing we need that, right? And so as much as I say often, always, the follow is designated times. Designated times. You have to be intentional. You have to make the time and the place. Like the date night, you have to schedule it. Because I know how human people work. I don't know why I said human people. Humanity. We say things like, I'm going to do that in my spare time. Has anybody else found that spare time does not exist? You have time for what you make time for. That's why they call it spending time and wasting time. You choose where to spend it. And I'm saying Jesus chose to spend his time with his Father. I get it. Maybe that sounds inconvenient, all night praying or getting up early in the morning. And yet there's designated times. And so be praying about what does that look like in your life? Lord, what time could I designate towards you? So often, designated times, and then third, I would say as needed. Maybe I'm speculating a little bit here, but I think some of these prayer times that Jesus had with the Father were after real long days of giving, real long days of frustration and fighting the devil, casting out demons, healing people, being moved with compassion. How many know that can drain you and that can leave you feeling pretty empty? And Jesus, what is he's like, I need to pray. I need to connect with my Father. And there's going to be as needed times in your life. In fact, you know this, but let me remind you, when you're empty, when life gets at you and when you're feeling drained and when you're out of resources, you can do some real unhealthy things, or you can choose the most healthy thing there is and go to your Father. That's the as needed element of the place of prayer. That says, when I'm empty, when I'm feeling alone, I'm going to go to my Father because that's what I need. That's what I need. So when? Often designated times and as needed. That's when. So let's talk about where. Where? I'm going to give you three words for this one. The next 2 points, the three words start with the same letter, so a little better. I couldn't do it on the first one. The three words I want to give you are away, alone, and atmosphere. As far as where are we going to pray, okay? From the verses we already read, we get the idea of, so start with away. We have Jesus going somewhere else to pray, right? It says he left the house. I mean, that means he removed himself from distractions. You have to remove yourself from the burdens of life to honestly connect with your Father. Right? And you have to be intentional about that. Because if you just try to pray in your busyness and you try to squeeze it in kind of thing, there has to be an intentionality that says, I need to get away to pray. And then there's the alone side. We even have him dismissing the disciples. Often the distractions of our life have faces. And that's not meant to be cruel and to pick on you, your family. But you need to say, you know what, Jesus, this is just you. You and me. This is what I want. This is what I need. Jesus teaching on prayer in Matthew 6:6. So the verses that come right after this would be the Lord's Prayer. And I know I've preached this, but the first two words of the Lord's Prayer I love is Jesus said, when you pray, pray, our Father. Think about it. The disciples saw this pattern in Jesus' life where he would spend this time with the Father. And what was Jesus saying when he introduced this Lord's Prayer? He says, you can pray the same way that I pray. You can connect with the Father the same way that I connect with the Father. He's not just the Father. He's not just your Father. He's our Father. And he invited us to have the same thing that he had with him. That's pretty powerful. And I'm not going to do the whole Lord's Prayer, but the front side of it, Matthew 6:6, he says, but when you pray, go into your room. That sounds like away or alone. Close the door, removing all the distractions, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And so the final word there is atmosphere. When we see, so here we have the idea, so you can pray anywhere, and I think it changes for individuals, but I think there are different places in your life, like now I'm talking physical places, where you best connect with God. In fact, Jesus, several times it says he goes to the mountain to pray. In Honduras, they go to the mountain. It's their lost valley. That's where they do their church camps. That's where there's been a pattern of just the Holy Spirit falling and changing people's lives. And there seems to just be an expectation in that place. Here it talks about a closet. Later we see in Jesus' life, he goes to the garden to pray. And we know, like Pastor Mike talks about, he's got a tree in the backyard or something, right? That's where he goes and has his conversations with the Lord. I've got like three places where I think I connect best with the Lord. One, and it was maybe kind of weird, but it's in the shower. the isolated, just alone with my thoughts and directing those to the Lord. I have some amazing conversations with the Lord in that place. The other one is driving in the car. I've been very intentional just really in the last 6 months. Says, I'm going to turn the radio off. I used to listen to sports radio because I had to get rid of, we got rid of cable, and I used to be like an ESPN fanatic and keep on top of everything. I mean, you can never keep on top of everything, all sports kind of thing. Any of you sports fans know that that's probably a hard thing. You lose that connection, and then you start listening to the radio just trying to keep up with it. But I do a lot of driving going from here and to there, and I said, you know what, I'm going to start dedicating my driving time to the Lord. And I've had some amazing conversations with the Lord. I had opportunity this week. I had to go downstate. Had over 7 hours in the car, and I used at least half of them. I can't tell you I prayed for 7 hours, but I used about at least half of them just in prayer and worship and spending time with Him. In fact, Jesus and I have, well, the third one, let me tell you the third one. The third one is I often get the house to myself, and we have a piano, and I'm not the best at the piano, but I can do enough to just kind of worship with the Lord, and I like doing that, sitting at the piano and worshiping with the Lord in that way. Nobody cares how good or bad I play in that moment. I just make a noise unto the Lord. So I do have conversation. I'll bring you into my interior world. Let me tell you about a conversation I had with Jesus this week. Because Jesus and I have like funny conversations. And you know what, when I say that, I was telling somebody this, you know, I don't actually hear from the Lord in any kind of spooky way. It's just kind of the directing of my thoughts and my heart. In fact, sometimes I'm jealous, like, am I missing things? People get these word pictures and dreams, and I don't. It's just pretty natural, just in my thoughts, and I direct my thoughts, and that's how the Lord speaks to me. So don't feel like you're missing anything if you know if you're not having vivid dreams or you're not having visions or those kind of things. And God does those things. I'm not trying to minimize that, but really, just let God direct your thoughts and direct your heart. And that's the way that God. So this conversation, as much as I'm not talking audible voices or anything like that, it's once again directing that self-talk to the Lord and just kind of listening, because, right, communication always goes both ways. And so the Lord, in my conversation, so this is my interior world, the Lord gave me a gentle rebuke, as you know, as He is tends to do sometimes in our lives. And the gentle rebuke was, He says, you know, Sam, you've been confessing with your heart and your mind that you're broken. And it's true. I think probably ever since my dad died, that somehow came in, and I just felt like something broke, and that'd been the confession of my heart and spirit, that I'm broken. And so the Lord said, you need to start confessing that you're healed and whole. And I was like, yeah. But then I decided to argue with Him. And I was like, but God, the Word of God says, I need to tell Him what the Bible says. The Word of God says the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. And you know what, I literally kind of heard this. It was pretty funny. He kind of said, don't be dumb, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you're playing word games. There's a difference between that brokenness and the brokenness that you've been claiming on your own life. And I'm like, you're right, Jesus. Anybody ever just get to that? Anyway, so that's just an example of just what, for me, that's going to be a big deal in my life, to just change that mentality. And it comes from being with Jesus. And Jesus can do things. So we can control the atmosphere. If I get on one little more tangent, when we talk about atmosphere, theologically, I have a hard time saying that God inhabits places. I think the New Testament model is that God inhabits people. Okay? Now, that being said, I know that there's the mountain in Honduras, and there's the tree in Pastor Mike's backyard, and at Lost Valley Bible Camp, Gary talks about this corner up at the top of the field where they pray. So the way I reconcile that is once you connect with God in one place, it's easier to connect with God in that same place. You can connect with God somewhere, but you are in control of an atmosphere. And when you break through in an atmosphere and you connect with God, I don't think it's wrong to revisit that place because that connection is so much easier in that place. Does that make sense? So I do have a hard time with God inhabiting places because he inhabits people, and know that God's in you. It's not so much as going to God as letting him in. Does that make sense? In fact, we're gonna transition into the why. And the first of the whys is relationship. Is relationship. Revelation 3:20. I love that verse. So once again, it's not so much as us going to God as it is as letting him in, tuning into him. In Revelation 3:20, that great verse, Jesus, hey, here I am. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will eat with him and he with me. Look, it's date night, guys. Right out of the Bible. I mean, as much as we still go on a first date and we go out to eat because that's a connection point, that was even so much more so in this culture, that eating together was a thing of intimacy and a thing of relationship. And Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. He's already made the first move, if you will, saying he wants to be with you. He wants you to be with him. That's how I read the end of it. I'll eat with him and he with me. The next move is ours. Will we open the door? Will we choose? Will we prioritize this place of prayer and this place of connection that says, Jesus, I want to be with you? Maybe your relationship with Jesus has grown stale. Maybe there's no life to it. Maybe it's all form. You need to let him in and find this place. Forget agenda. Let it be just about him. Relationship is the first why. Second is renewal. Is renewal. Once again, I think there were times in Jesus' life where he was empty and he was drained and he was saddened by humanity. And he felt empty and he needed filled. In Psalm 16:11, we find this phrase that you fill me with joy in your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. Anybody ever feel like the joy has been sucked out of your life? Because life will do that to you. It will. You go through physical pain. You go through just busyness. You go through relational things. Everything that comes against us, we feel drained and we feel empty. And what we need is his presence. And Jesus, I think, needed that. Just think about, I mean, I've done ministry and I know how trained I get in the little bit of ministry that I do. I can't imagine Jesus all day long praying for people to be healed, casting out demons out of seeing some of the worst that the enemy has bound kids and individuals. And just being on that front line. And he said, I need to pray. I need to be with my Father. I need to be filled. And we're going to need that. Maybe today you're here and you're feeling empty. The answer is to be with Jesus. So relationship, renewal. And then the third is revelation. When you spend time with him, God shows you stuff. He shows you stuff. And I know I think Jesus, you know, for lack of a better word, he got downloads spending time with the Father. All right, what do you want me to do next? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? He had conversations with the Father about that so the Father could direct his steps. Here are some words of Jesus to just kind of back that up a little bit. So here's John 12, verse 49. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I just said what he wanted me to say. That comes from spending time with the Father. Here's what he says in John 14:31. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come, now let us leave. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I wish I could stand up here and say that, right? I only say what he tells me to say, and I only do what he tells. I'm pretty sure my will and my flesh still creep in. And yet, The more time we spend with the Father, the more time he has to give us the revelation of what it is he wants us to say, what it is that he wants us to do. We're going to find his will and his way from his presence. All right, so I'm going to have the worship team come on up, and we've got 10, 12, 13 minutes. They got two songs lined up. In fact, the first one's a new one, and I did that kind of on purpose because I don't want you necessarily focusing on singing the song as much as you spending time with Jesus. So this is going to be strange because it's a room full of people, but I invite you to find a place of prayer. Now, that can be just sitting right in your seat, but maybe you like to kneel in the front row or at the altar, or, you know, put your back up against the wall. I'm kind of going no rules here. Just respect somebody else. You don't want to be the distraction for somebody else, okay? But let's spend some time with Jesus just here. Just get a taste of that. If you bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm gonna pray here. So part of the question is this. Maybe you're here. If I just go to those whys, why would we need to do this? Maybe one of those three things fits you today. That your relationship with Jesus lacks the fire and the intensity and the life that it once had. The answer is to spend time with his Father. Open the door and be with him. Maybe today you're empty and life has sucked the joy out of your life. In his presence is fullness of joy. He wants to minister. And maybe you're here today and you've been kind of lost and not knowing what to do. God wants to show you. He wants to show you his heart. He wants to show you the call upon your life. He wants to just reveal new things to you. So Lord, I just pray right now for your children. Lord, we come just to be with you. Nothing else. Just to be with you. Lord, and as much as we're doing this here this morning, Lord, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, speak to our hearts and our lives how to incorporate prioritizing the place of prayer in our lives. Lord, we love you. Oh, just reignite our first love today. Lord, set us on fire. Lord, fill us with your love. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Just have your way in these moments right here, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So just find a place of prayer.